This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is We're Wired to Connect with Other People. And it's actually a show that I created out of a suggestion from a listener from Astoria, New York. She emailed me saying that she's been so empathic for the last 20 years that she really hasn't even been able to leave her house or to get out in crowds or anything, because what she's doing is she's picking up all of this information and energy and connecting with people at such a deep level that it's really caused her to start to live a life of a hermit. And she wanted to know what I could do to share about being empathic, but also to share how important it is for us to connect with people. And that's kind of a double-edged sword, because when you're empathic, you really do connect with people. But it's being able to connect with them in a way that really feeds the social aspect of our brain and who we are. She also has mentioned that she hasn't even been able to listen to the news for the last 20 years, just because everything that she picks up absolutely overwhelms her and actually makes her sick. So she suggested that I address this topic, and voila, here's the show today. I want to thank you for the suggestion, and then I hope that you and then all the listeners find it of value. Now, if you have a suggestion for me about a show, I'd like to invite you to go to my website at www.ritberger.com and go to the show tab at the top. And you will find, when you click on that, you'll find a show suggestion button. Just click on that and submit your suggestions. It's very, very helpful for me, because it gives me a sense of where the listener's interest is. And then I find that it's just sometimes a great topic, even that I'll use on my Your Health Monthly teleclasses. So if you have a suggestion, just pop it off to me, send me an email, and then I will add it to the list and either do it as a show suggestion or do it as a teleclass itself. So please, do that for me. And then also, thanks to all of you who have sent suggestions. And then also, I hope that you find this information of value. I'm also going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you'd like to talk about the topic of being empathic, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada. And then also, same thing for international callers. All you have to do is just dial your international calling code and then dial 877-230-3062. Well, I want to begin by stating on the show that our brains are really wired to connect with people, and that it really needs to interact with people, because it's a very social organ and it really learns a lot and causes a lot of activity in the brain when we are dialoguing and interacting with other people. So really, when it comes down to the health and well-being of the brain, and ultimately the health and well-being of the body itself, being social really is as important as getting the rest that our body needs, eating the right foods, and then managing stress. However, being empathic and being social don't always go hand in hand. And the reason for that is because of that empathic, a part of the intuition. And really, being empathic is that high, high vibrational part of being intuitive. Everyone is intuitive. Everyone to some degree is sensitive. But people who are empathic really have an ultra sensitivity to what is going on. It's as if their brain is really stimulated by all of the visual information that they're actually picking up in the physical senses. But the way the brain interprets that information can really just expand and explode on someone to the point where it can create overwhelm. So let me begin. I wanted to by defining what empathic means. Being empathic means that you actually amplify and magnify all information that's coming to into your brain in a way that it heightens your instinctive, that intuitive awareness, so you'll be able to interpret a lot of the hidden meanings behind what you see, what you hear, what you feel, and what you touch. Now, being empathic can be a marvelous ability because what it does is it actually can help you become more self-confident and being able to live your life with a higher degree of self-esteem, because it allows you to see beyond the obvious. It allows you to be able to interact with your outer world from a much different perspective. And when you can actually accept that being empathic is a value, and you can learn how to develop it, and it allow it to become more expressive in the way that it helps you tune into yourself, what it'll do is it'll actually be a very important catalyst as far as your own spiritual journey and your own personal growth. It can also be a very highly developed skill and a positive ability to be able to help help other people understand themselves, and then also understand their sensitivities. Without understanding what being empathic is, it's this constant overload of information. And then what it can do is it's very distressful. It can actually create illness in the body, or in my world as a medical intuitive, I have even noticed that people who are empathic tend to have a higher predisposition for weight gain, because their body and their mind is always in that protective state, trying to filter out or protect them from all the barrage of information they're getting. I've found that there's hypothyroidism. Insomnia seems to go hand in hand. And then I also find that ultimately it could weaken the immune system itself. So it's really important to understand, while the brain wants to be social and it's really in its best interest and to promote good health, that hypersensitivity, ultra-sensitivity that comes along with that heightened state of intuitiveness is sometimes counterintuitive to what's going on in the body itself. So the more you understand being empathic and recognize what it is, then it's easier for you to create a filter. And that filter, not protection, but that filter can actually help you interact with people in a way that you can still gather the information through your empathic abilities, through your intuition, to be able, to be able to help you in the process of communicating and being able to see behind the hidden meanings of things. But it also can allow you to remain social and to be able to get out and, as my listener, not live a life that really is of being a hermit. Being empathic really serves more as a personal and spiritual guide that really is encouraging you toward your own personal growth and moving you toward that spiritual development. That's the real purpose behind being empathic. While we may think that it's tied to helping other people, that's kind of a bonus to the process. But really, being empathic is for your own well-being and your own use. Recognizing that being empathic is a gift, again, that allows you to lead life with the confidence and to really, believe it or not, create a happy life that's full of rich, rewarding experiences. And what I mean by that is that being empathic and the way that that empathic, intuitive part of you views your experiences is that it allows you to see all aspects of the experiences other than just what your conscious mind, that everyday, ordinary thinking, really directs us to being able to see. So again, we're very social, but being empathic isn't always the case that it feels that way. In my book, Healing Happens With Your Help, I actually identify how the soul, the mind, and the body each has their own individual needs. And when those needs are met, the body remains healthy, the mind remains alert, the empathic ability remains very clear and concise and very dynamic in the way that the information is very direct. And then also what it does is it allows the soul to interact with the mind and the body the way that it's designed. So we have a harmonic cooperative process that's going on in that way. But what happens when the needs of the soul, the mind, and the body aren't being met? Then this disconnection, this static, this ability, this kind of breakdown in that social aspect of that connection between all three actually can be one of the hidden meanings behind various illnesses that we experience in the body. The need of the body is to connect with people so we can feel loved. The need of the mind is to be social so we can learn from the interaction. The need of the soul is to be able to connect with people so we can fulfill our soul agreement with them. So each one, again, looks like a little bit, may sound like a little bit different as far as their needs, but the reality is they're all to the same common cause, and that's your personal development and spiritual evolution. If you haven't read my book, Healing Happens With Your Help, I would encourage you to do so, because in addition to talking about the needs of the soul, the mind, the body, it also helps map these emotions, these negative emotions that we hold in the organs and glands, and then it also provides a map of how we hold specific fears in the actual spine itself, and how the dynamics of negative emotions, the fears that we have, can really cause us to pull away from being social, but they can also cause us to not embrace that empathic abilities. And again, if we're empathic, that's just who we are. It's a part of our processing, our gathering of information, making decisions, and to try to turn it off really isn't something that is possible. So the more you can understand the workings of the body, the better it will be. If you haven't read my book, you can purchase it on Amazon.com or HayHouse.com, and that's Healing Happens With Your Help. The case, when I was thinking about what the listeners sent in the case of being a hermit, I thought maybe it would be of value if I would really differentiate the energetics and how it impacts the body in the difference between isolation and solitude, because there's a huge difference in it. In the case of isolation, the need of the body isn't being met, because the body really needs that interaction with people to feel accepted and to feel loved. And when we don't do that, then the body goes into a state of energetic depletion. The result is that we feel tired or drained of energy, and our interest in participating in life begins to diminish. In this difference between isolation and solitude, what it is isolation actually separates us from the outside world and other people, then again, not giving the mind, the body, the soul what it needs in order to remain in a healthy vibrational state. This behavior causes the mind to believe that we're afraid of something. Perhaps we're afraid of the fear of abandonment, or the fear of unknown, or the fear of betrayal, or the fear of rejection, or just the fear of being hurt. When the mind receives this message that there's a fear associated with it, that we're afraid of something, what it does is it puts the body into a state of alert. And when that body goes into a state of alert, not knowing whether it's going to be healthy or being able to really rally up to the challenge that's being presented to it, then what it does, it goes into a state of protection. So now the body is in protection. It's conserving energy. The mind is in protection because it's afraid of something, and afraid that if it allows us to become engaged in it, then it's going to cause harm to the mind and body. So we have this double-edged sword of what's going on from the standpoint. When the body goes in protection, there's a natural tendency for the metabolism to slow down, for our ability to oxidize and utilize glucose changes, and then we start putting on weight. Staying in protection for too long, if it's spiritually directed, as if in the case of being empathic, say you decide that you're just going to pull away from everybody and really become isolated because that's the only way you can deal with being empathic, what it's going to do is it's going to keep you in a continual state of protection. And what that does is it actually changes the chemistry of the body to the point that it can affect our immune system and really affect its ability to be able to protect us from outside invaders. It's as if that is going into a hyper-protective state as well. But instead of being hyper-protective to really rushing out and trying to find anything in the human body that could cause us harm, it pulls in just the same way the mind and body does. Mentally, isolation really distorts the quality of our thoughts, which can lead us to believe that others don't understand us and they don't understand what we're going through. So eventually we continue to withdraw and withdraw, and that can ultimately cause us to lose touch with reality. Now, again, that's counterintuitive to being empathic, because empathic literally is heightening your awareness and creating this amplifying and the magnitude of the information you're receiving. And when we mentally are pulling back, then what we're doing, it's kind of like being a brain surgeon and putting both of our hands behind our back and then expecting ourselves to perform brain surgery. What we do is we lose touch with that intuitive part. We lose touch with the empathic part, and we actually start losing touch with reality. The risk of this kind of thinking is that it enables us to justify our isolation and leads us to believe that other people are the problem and they're the cause of why we're empathic. And then we start to use that empathic ability in a distorted way, to where then it causes us to go into deeper protection. Now, emotionally, isolation causes us to lose touch with our ability to manage our emotions. The result is that we become emotionally overreactive to what other people hear and say and how we interact with them. Now, add being empathic on top of that, now we really become kind of like an emotional mess, honestly, because now we really can't sort through what is ours, what is someone else's. We're not even aware of the depth of the level of the emotion, a lot of times not even in touch with the emotion itself. So isolation can have a lot of negativity in the outcome of the physical well-being of the body, and also the connection between the mind, body, and soul. And if you are empathic, there will be a natural tendency, especially if you don't understand what it is, there will be a natural tendency for you to be able to connect or disconnect in a lot of ways, connect differently, but disconnect to the point where you don't understand it. And it can put you into a state of isolation. And even if you're out walking around with people and you feel this, you put this protective barrier around you, instead of interacting, you're going to feel the isolation. So it's something to be very mindful of and to become aware of your empathic abilities and then learn how to create filters. And that's something that I talked about in my telegathering, is how to create filters, and I'm going to share that in the second segment. But right now what I'd like to do is let's take Leia, is it Lay? I know who you are. Hi, sweetie, line two.
Ooh. Boy, that really sounded familiar.
Yeah, I bet it did, didn't it?
Yeah. Okay, actually, I have two questions. I went through a really rough patch at my job last summer, and I'm wondering if it's time for me to move on or just stick it out.
Boy. You have a lot of empathic abilities. So let me go in. I want to share what that means. What it is my sense is that your sensitivity, and I understand, I can feel the reality of what's going on. There feels like there's been a tremendous amount of chaos. There feels like there's chaos at a higher, maybe a principal, vice principal level, maybe even the superintendent. There just feels like there's just a board of directors. There's just a lot of chaos. It feels around the school, the system itself, where it needs to go, funding, you know, all those things that are happening. But then when you add your heightened sensitivity to the point where you're picking up a lot of the nonverbal clues of what's going on and being able to read below that threshold of what your five physical senses are providing you, then what's happening is it feels to me that it overwhelms you. It's blowing things out of proportion, and then you get to the point where you don't really, can't differentiate what's real, what belongs to someone else, what's yours, what you should do, and that's exactly the state that I'm picking up right now. So having said that, I wanted to validate that so you wouldn't think that you're crazy.
No, I know I'm not crazy. It's just, I know I'm not crazy, and I am much calmer now than I was.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And the crazy-making part of it is the fact that trying to make a decision in a middle of a tornado is a very difficult thing to do. So in that calm, it feels like you've stepped back and taken your intuitive empathic abilities and starting to use it in a way that can help you really see what's going on. So I wanted to validate what you have done and where you are. As far as the job itself, you should move on.
Okay.
And the reason for that is it doesn't feel like the chaos that I'm picking up around the entire dynamics. And for some reason, it feels like almost this school is just being kind of singled out. Is that accurate?
Well, the new superintendent is a micromanager.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it's just like, I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Along with the cut in funds. And my principal is wonderful.
Exactly.
It's a superintendent. That's the problem. The other problem with moving on is that I'm going to probably take a cut in pay.
Right, right. So let's go in, because, again, a lot of stuff came up around moving on. Oh, I keep coming back to the point that what I was doing is I was asking, does moving on mean moving to another place within the school system, to another, maybe another position, teaching another level, something? There was something I was asking is, does that movement mean that she can stay within the school that she is, so she doesn't have to get the cut in the pay? And I kept coming up with, no, it's time to move on. And the reason, now that the part that feels confusing to me is that if you move on, I know you're an outstanding teacher, I can pick that up. The other part of it is where do you move on? Can you move to another school? Can you do a lateral change? I know you're still going to have the superintendent that you're going to be dealing with, but is it possible for you to make a lateral change to another school where there won't be a job change? I mean, there won't be a loss of income or a decrease of income, and still be able to stay in that teaching capacity? Is that an option?
I can do a lateral change within the district, but I'm still need to be with that superintendent.
Yeah. Well, the thing that feels like there's the tension to me, and I'm just going to share because that's what I do. The tension feels like, as much as you love the principal, it feels like the superintendent to me has this thing against your principal. And as much as you like your principal, it's almost, and I understand the managerial aspect of schools as well as business, but it's almost as though this superintendent is on this hunt to be able to somehow discredit or to force the principal to do, maybe leave or to do something. I don't find a lot of longevity between the dynamics and the relationship between the principal that you love and the superintendent. It almost feels like the school has been really singled out to get rid of a problem, and that problem feels like the principal. That's what it feels like to me. And if you could move to another school or even explore the possibilities, then what you could do is you wouldn't have the income loss. You could still do what you love, which is the teaching and being of service to the young people. And then you won't be as caught up in this dynamics that feels very real to me, that feels like your being empathic is picking up. It feels like the it feels like the principal is going to be forced to move on. That's how it feels to me. I know.
Well, my special ed boss said that she was going to leave me at my school maybe one more year and then move me to another school.
Okay. So, now, is that one more year ending in June and then you would maybe start another school in September?
No.
Okay. You'd have one more full year?
Yeah.
Okay. Boy.
The other thing I can do is tell my special ed boss that if she wants to move me sooner, that's fine.
That's a great way to go. Put the intention out there that you would like to move on.
Okay.
And do it in a way where, again, it would be an easy transition for you and your supervisor, the teacher, the special ed person. That would be a great way to start.
Okay.
Thanks. Other thing is, if you do decide to stay for that other year, then I would also revisit to the fact that if it isn't possible for you to move now, to go back and re-verify and validate that that option really exists in a year and something hasn't changed in the dynamics of what's going on. So you're not still under the impression that something's going to happen and it isn't. There feels like there's so much unrest in so many different areas that I would really almost, you know, I would approach that and say, you know, if I can't now, is that a possibility? And if it isn't, then that will help you in your decision making.
Yeah. Okay. And the other question I had is, a very close friend is struggling with some stuff, her husband's very terrible pain. And I'm looking to the future. Is there anything in the future where I can help her more? And what can I do about her pain now?
I have to use you as a surrogate. And I'll tell you what, you're being empathic and sharing it with me. That pain builds a lot of barriers. There's a lot of protection, understandably so. One of the things that you seem like you have a real strong connection with is the heart, also being empathic. Why don't you see if you can connect at that heart level and send her some healing energy and see if you can just be that constant in the storm that she's feeling with all the pain. I actually have a difficult time being able to connect with her at the level of the question you're asking, because this pain has caused her to really put up this fortress around her. It's like she just cannot deal with anything in the outside world that's going to cause her to have to exert any energy or have to think different. Her habits are becoming very defined. Her world is shrinking. So if there's anything you can do to help her with this world shrinking and keep it expanded, that will be of value to you. And it'll help her a lot. She doesn't feel like she's going, she doesn't feel like to me she's going to a doctor. Is that true?
That's right. They don't respect what she's feeling. And I've tried to do some healing touch with her. I just saw her a few days ago. And it helped a little bit, but I don't think she's willing to accept it. We had a pretty intense time with both of us in tears, and some the healing touch didn't work that time because, of course, I wasn't in a good spot in either.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't say this. If she were to go see a doctor and talk about the pain that she's under, and I understand, again, she let me in a little bit to see this part of it, that she doesn't want to do medication. If she went on a Cymbalta or a Lyrica or something that deals at a neuromuscular skeletal level or works with the activity, overactivity of the nerves, she would not be in as much pain. I just have to say that. That's, you know, what...
Lyrica?
Well, and what the best thing to do, those happen to be two prescriptions that are given for the type of pain that she's experiencing. And the pain is very real. It's not a figment of her imagination. But what they do is, as you know, I'm not anti-medicine, but what they would do, and to talk to a doctor, the doctor's the best one to make the decision what to give her. But if we could give her a reprieve from the pain, then her world would expand, and then the things that you're doing would be of value to her. But where it is now is that she's afraid to do anything, and I don't blame her, because everything she does hurts. It hurts physically, mentally, emotionally, energetically. Everything hurts. So what she's doing is she's just trying to reserve her resources in order to be able to function. But I do feel that if she saw a physician and talked to the physician about what she's actually physical experiences, the physical symptoms she has, then there could be medication that could help her get in her body and to be pain-free, so she could see that her world could expand and she could live her life.
And,
so,
and she is pregnant.
Yes. That's why she would need to talk to a physician.
Okay.
That's why she would need to talk to a physician, because they would be able to. I'm not a physician. I just happen to know from working with doctors that I work with their clients, is that when we start experiencing some of the things that I'm picking up with her and I share that with the doctors, that tends to be medication of choice for what I'm picking up. But the doctor is the one that has the final say, that knows what it should be, knows what she can take comfortably carrying the child and everything. But what she's experiencing can also become exasperated by from the fact that she is has all these hormones, has all this going on. So honestly, I would suggest that she sees a doctor and goes from there. She needs to see a doctor anyway for her neonatal health, for her prenatal health. I'm sorry, for her natal health for the child. So I would do that, sweetie.
Thank you for your time, Carol.
You are most welcome. All right, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I do have a couple more callers. Please stay on the line. I'm going to take your calls, and I'm going to talk more about being able to differentiate between isolation, solitude, and a little bit more about being empathic. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me today, the topic of today's show is we're wired to be connected to people, yet I've been talking about being empathic, meaning that you literally feel other people's energy, you feel their emotions, you actually experience their experiences, and you can even re-experience the experiences that they're experiencing. Sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? But being empathic isn't always easy, especially when the mind, the body, and the soul want us to be that really wires us to the point where they really wants us to be in connection with other people, because all are social, all need that connection in order to remain healthy. It's just like, what do you do with being empathic and be able to feel the needs of the mind, body, and soul? I've been talking about that empathic, so I want to share with you that I just posted on my website, available for purchase, my telegathering that I just did on the science and art of being empathic. So if you think you're empathic or you know someone who is empathic, you can go to my website, www.reitberger.com. There's a try before you buy feature. And what I discuss in this 90-minute download that's available for purchase now is I discuss the difference between being empathic, intuitive, and spiritual, and then also the neurological communication centers of the empathic part of the brain, the different kinds of empathic sensitivity. Most important, how do you differentiate if the information and the emotions that you're feeling and the energy drain that you may be experiencing, how do you know if it's yours or if it belongs to someone else? And then also how to be empathic and live a normal life. That's a very big thing. It may sound a little bit funny to say it that way, but it is an ongoing challenge. And again, because we're wired to be social and that empathic part, if it becomes overwhelmed, wants us to pull back and to go into isolation. So again, it's kind of counterintuitive. And then I also share techniques to bring out, enhance, and balance your empathic skills. So if you are interested in seeing more about it, I even have a special bonus attached to the download itself, and that's a workbook that you can use to follow along in the download and to be able to fill in information, and it has a lot of information in it that I wasn't able to touch on that 90-minute telegathering, The Science and Art of Being Empathic. So again, follow along, more information, the 90-minute download, all available for $14.95 on my website, www.reitberger.com. I talked in the first segment about isolation and how that really can be very destructive to the physical body itself, but I want to differentiate isolation and solitude. This is a question that I get quite frequently from people who are empathic. Solitude isn't the avoidance as isolation is. When we seek solitude, actually what we're doing is we're creating time out of our busy schedule to just basically relax, monitor the quality of our thoughts, review our life and our relationships, reconnect with that deeper inner knowing that we have, and to be able to use that time as an evaluation, a sorting through, looking at the options, and then being with the information that we've received in a way that we would be able to move forward with better, healthier choices in our life. What solitude does in the sacred time is it allows us to just be and to get back into our body and revisit the needs of the soul, the mind, and the body. In some cases, solitude includes being out in nature or listening to music or sitting in silence, even in a group of people. Now, if you're empathic, please understand when you get into that silence, you are going to start picking up a lot of information. That's why the filtering system that I'm, the techniques, and there's more in the workbook itself, the filtering techniques are so important to be able to be into that state of meditation, solitude with a group of people and not be bombarded. Also, doing yoga is very, very mindful, very part, much of a healthy part of the yoga itself, and then walking. All of these activities actually support us being engaged in life rather than avoiding it. Solitude actually invigorates, rejuvenates, restores, revives, and renews the physical body because it encourages personal growth and spiritual development. And most important, it encourages you to share what you learn with other people. When our brain is designed to be social and to interact with other people, what it does is it takes those experiences and it expands our own experiences using that information. That's why it's really designed to be a social. So when it comes in and really looking at being in solitude and advancing that solitude and being in, bringing it into your daily activities, then what you do is that you actually expand your intuition, you heighten your awareness, and then your empathic abilities and the information that it provides can be utilized in a way to really expand your perception of your own experience. It's a very healthy way to do it. So not connecting with people carries many health risks, such as heart disease, hypertension, autoimmune disorders, cancer, diabetes, and depression. And on the other hand, solitude relaxes the body and puts us into that state of well-being to the point where all the stress, emotional distress that we feel being in protection is actually removed. And all of those tendencies and those health risks associated with isolation then melt away. Filtering. One of the things there's always been, I've found as a medical intuitive, a lot of confusion between filtering and protecting. Protection is when you set a mental attention to the fact that you are going to protect yourself. Now, you can do it under the spiritual guise that I'm going to put white light around me, and I'm going to use, and putting white light around you can be very healthy. That's part of the filtering. But I'm going, when you say to yourself, I'm going to put white light around me to protect me from people. Now what the mind does is it goes into a state of fear that somehow somebody out there is going to get to you, that's going to take advantage of you. And it's like taking this big, beautiful aura that you have around you that we know scientifically can be measured 55 feet from you and compressing it to the point where it is literally a second skin. And what that does is it takes all of this energy and all of the vibrational frequencies within that energy, it compresses it, and it causes your body to have to deal with all that extra energy, and it puts it into protection. So in the filtering, what you can do is knowing that you're empathic, that you're going to be hypersensitive, and you're going to amplify the information that's coming into your brain, then what you can do as one of the filtering processes that I shared is that you can put white light around you. White is the color. It really isn't a color. It embodies the seven frequencies, vibrational frequencies associated with the rainbow, and also the seven frequencies of the chakra itself. So when you put white light around you, what it does is it really amplifies and really fortifies your own aura to the point where your aura can do what it's designed to do, act as a filter system. Information comes in, and because each one of the layers, vibrational layers of the aura, is amplified and fortified with this white light energy, what it does is it allows information, only information in, that is of value to you for you to learn, because all information is there for us to learn from, is there to help us understand our experiences. And then what it can do is it can filter out negative emotions. It can filter out negative thoughts of other people. And what you get from your interaction with the outer world is a purity of the information that you're receiving in a way that you can utilize it for your own personal growth and your spiritual development. But you can also use that information, if you're using your empathic abilities to work with someone, to have that clarity, that directness, that conciseness of information, free of emotions, for you to put into words, because words are very important in being able to express your empathic abilities. Put it into words to where other people can hear what you're saying and can use their aura and their empathic abilities to pull that information in and then to find value. The issue is that when we're protection, every part of the human body goes into protection. We go into a state of fight or flight. We go into a state of stress. We go into the state of emotional distress. Our energy becomes compressed and compacted instead of being bigger than life and vibrant and magnificent. And what we do is everything goes into that part that says, don't let anybody in. That's as much of isolation as locking ourselves in our house. So in the filtering, use white light to be able to fortify, to be able to amplify your aura, and then let your aura do what it's designed to do. One of the things I share, and I always ask people, go in and mull this around and put it into your own words, throw it out if it doesn't work. People get our energy because we give it to them. I believe that there are no such things as energy vampires. I believe that what that person is bringing to us is something that is of value, and we invite them in. Once they come in, especially if we're empathic, we become confused by what we're experiencing. We can't differentiate the information for our own usage from their information, and it drains us of energy. What we do is we give them our energy, trying to figure out what exactly is taking place. Filtering is a very effective process. You can interact with people who have been in your family or friends that have drained you, and you will notice immediately that by just merely calling in white light, setting intention, but not the attention of being protected in protection from those people, they will interact with you differently, and the information you receive from them is different. So filtering can be very, very effective. I would like to go ahead and jump in for, hi, Ophelia from Singapore. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Hello there.
You're still dealing with spirulina, huh?
Yeah, I finished the course, the bottle I bought in maybe January or February, and I finished it in March. So I was wondering if should I get another bottle and, you know, take it again, or what do you think?
You know what? I wouldn't. Just give yourself a little bit of time. You actually feel like your pH is balanced. You feel, I can feel the mitochondria of the cells, that energy burning part of the cells. They feel like they're firing the way they need to. I would probably sit tight and let your body just do what it's the healing. Let your body function with the healing that you've done and all the changes that you've made. You feel like you have more energy to me. Is that true?
But recently, I'm getting not that much energy. I feel very tired easily and fatigued more easily these 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I was wondering, could it be because I finished the spirulina in March, so, you know, the energy that I kind of like losing it and things like that?
Yeah. You know, sweetie, I have to say it. I don't think what you're feeling is the loss of energy. Really, and we've worked before together on the radio. I don't pick up what you're feeling energetically has as much to do with the physical body as it did the other times that we've talked. I want to go back and let's see. You said 2 weeks you've started noticing this. Okay, I'll go back. Well, actually, I'm going back about 27 days. Yeah, I'm actually going back 27 days. Are you under a lot of stress? Is somebody that you're close to under a lot of stress, honey?
Yes, I am. And okay. I would like to say that today your topic is very, very relevant to me, because for me, since young, I'm empathic. And
yes.
I've been, because you say that there's no energy vampire, and I actually met one when I was in my teens. So
yeah.
After talking to them, I felt so tired, I actually had to sit down.
Yeah.
So what I want to say is I actually been in isolation. My case is I'm in isolation, you know, I've not been around friends and things like that. So
Yeah. It actually feels to me, the reason I ask questions, it actually feels to me that what you're feeling in the energy drain has more to do with stress. It's not what we've been dealing with the physical body. Your physical body really feels very balanced and very active to me, and I'm getting the, like I said, the energy burner part of the cells, and I'm getting the stability in your gut. There's a lot of healthiness that I have in you today that we've been working on while we've been working on the radio. But today it feels to me that what we're dealing with is we're dealing with stress. It feels like we're dealing with, and being empathic, I didn't go that far to pick that up. I will certainly validate now that you've opened it up and I went that way. But it feels to me that in this stress, there's a person that just seems to be, you're wanting to help, you're wanting to interact, but you don't know how. This person doesn't know how. So I keep picking up like you're getting mixed messages. It's like they're coming to you, whether it's energetically or physically, it feels like both, coming to you and asking you for help. You're wanting to be there to help, but you don't know what to help because they feel very confused to me. Does that ring true to you? Is it a person at work?
No, actually, there's some problems at home, so
gotcha.
I just feel isolated from my family, so I just don't want to talk to them and things like that.
Gotcha. Okay, so why don't we just not do anything with spirulina now? Let's give your body a chance to do what it's doing. It's really working so much better. And then let's go in and look at maybe trying some of that filtering using the white light, but also knowing that you're under stress, there's a lot of emotional tension I'm picking up, and then what you're going to do is that's going to drain you of energy. And that's what feels like it's causing this energy low and not what we were dealing with. So see if that rings true to you.
Yes. May I ask, can I take vitamin C or vitamin or iron tablets or things like that to help myself?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, can. I'll just buy over the counter and just take the iron tablet and the vitamin C.
Okay, please say that again. It broke up.
Is it possible for me to take iron tablets and vitamin C? Is it helpful?
I would work with someone with the type of iron that you would take, from the standpoint that you want to get, there's various forms of iron tablets that are used for working with people who are low energy or people who have been diagnosed with being anemic, or having anemia, I should say. But what it is,
yeah,
is that
you have.
Yeah, it feels important to me that you work with someone and you get a real absorbable type of iron so your body doesn't have to work hard to be able to utilize it. And there actually is different types of iron that absorbs very easy into the body. It doesn't create chaos and discomfort in the stomach itself. It doesn't cause an energy loss. It doesn't create chaos in the body. I would work with someone and explore that. But you want the kind that is easily absorbed where your body doesn't have to work hard in order to be able to utilize it, to be able to absorb it, and to benefit from it.
Okay, how about vitamin C? Should I take vitamin C?
Vitamin C?
Yes.
Is that what you said, C? Yes, continue that.
Okay, thank you.
You are most welcome. Hi, I want to jump in. I've got only just a very short period of time, but I'd like to call my take my caller from Illinois, line 3. Hi.
Hello?
Can I help you? Hi, sweetie.
Hi. Last week I did talk to you. It was my first time call, and I already am calling you, you know, this second time.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Whatever you said in the starting of the show, it just describes me. Do you think I am empathic? And you know, I always have low energy. I avoid people. I don't want to take phone calls, and I don't know. I don't want to go out that much. And,
yeah.
Last week you said that I have a highly developed intuition, but I'm not using it consciously.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think, everything is connected together, and what should I do practically to, improve that?
Well, first of all, yes, you are empathic. So let's validate that. And I can tell you that the way that you are empathic is that you literally, your brain feels what others feel. You feel their energy. You connect with them energetically. You connect with them at an emotional level. You can actually get senses, a sense of a vision or an image of what is actually going on with them. And then that empathic part of you starts putting it into language. That's the way your empathic skills work. So first and foremost, you're going to connect with someone energetically. Now, when we do that and we're not consciously aware of it, then what it does is it can create a lot of confusion, especially because people have their own fingerprint of vibrational frequency, kind of like we do on our thumb. So you have your own vibrational frequency. Someone else has one. I have one. My producer has one. We all have our own individualized frequency. And if we are dealing in the lower chakras, maybe such as around survival, then you, being empathic, have a higher vibrational nature in your fingerprint and imprint, and you deal with someone that is in that first chakra, that lower frequency, it's going to drain you of energy. You want to help. You want to be of service to people, but you just don't know how to help them because you're kind of like a xylophone where you, when you connect with people, your energy runs high, it runs low, it runs in between and then low and then high, and it goes, it's bouncing all over. So what your intuition has done is it's developed to the point where you're connecting with someone emotionally, where you can literally feel what they feel. That's a wonderful gift. Except if what they're feeling is something that you experience, then you can't differentiate whether it's yours or someone else's as well. The thing, having said that, the best thing I can say to you is the minute that you start feeling drained of energy, because that's not your nature, honey. You flow a very high frequency, and that's why I was able to pick up that your intuition's highly developed. Your intuition, when I said it's working but you're not consciously aware of it, it is. It's hypersensitive, and it's picking up all this information, but it's doing it below the threshold or above the threshold of your conscious thinking. So you're not aware of it. When you connect with someone, the minute you feel drained, I'd like you to just quiet, take a deep breath, and say, is it mine? Is it theirs? Don't worry about who there is. Theirs okay. is. That's not grammatically correct, but is it mine? Is it theirs? If it's your energy, if your soul is going to come in and say, oh, yeah, this being tired is yours, then you can deal with it in a healthy way, and you can say, okay, did I not get enough sleep? Have I not eaten recently? Do I need to get more rest? Do I need to have some quiet time? Do I need to get outdoors? Then your body will tell you what you need in your mind. If you get the message that it's theirs, then what you do is you don't have to go in and say, well, who is it? You know, is it Cousin George or whoever? You don't have to do that. Just say, okay, it belongs to someone else, and I release it in a loving way. And then you say your name, and then you say, the energy that I embody is my energy alone. So there's actual techniques that you can use to be able to sort through those different aspects. You don't use isolation in the way of being in avoidance from the way that you don't want to be around people. You're just using isolation. I mean, you still get out. You're just using isolation so you're not being overwhelmed with this information. The other thing is, it feels to me, sweetie, you've been carrying a lot of sadness in you. And I'm going to tell you, the sadness that I'm picking up in you is not yours. So if there's people in your immediate family that are sad or that are struggling or suffering and are sad, this is not yours, sweetie. Just take that sadness, visualize putting it in this beautiful healing bag, organza, put whatever you would like, rhinestones, pearls, whatever, put it in a beautiful healing bag, and then send that sadness away. It is not your nature to be sad. When you experience sadness, it belongs to someone else. I can tell you that very straightforward. What you feel is you feel disappointment. That's your biggie. It goes disappointment and guilt. Those are your two biggies, but sadness isn't yours. So if someone is experiencing sadness, then it belongs to someone else. And just put it in a healing bag. Send it out to the universe. Let the universe transmute it, transform it. Let all of the beings that work in that universal consciousness to be able to just basically dissipate the energy around the sadness. And then what you'll start to do is you'll start finding consciously some of that connection with nature and some of the things that you really love to do. What it feels to me, sweetie, is that the protection that you get in is causing you to feel almost burned out, almost to the point where your little empathic circuits are frying and you feel like you're kind of on edge. That's just not who you are. Just not who you are. You might want to go in and just do the try before you buy and see if there's anything that's you would find a value in the download and then the workbook itself. I think it would help validate you so you would know that that's truly who you are. And I will validate you. And you are highly developed in your intuition. And you are ultra sensitive.
Oh, you were right on. I'm going to definitely try that, the archives and try to download a few of the things.
Good, good. And again, I think what you're going to do is you'll start as you recognize it, you're really going to start recognizing what a real gift this is. I mean, it will allow you to interact with yourself, your own world, but more importantly, as you have so many gifts to give others, whether you use it empathic or not, that's what I would do. Sorry to have to cut you off, but I've got to go. Thank you, everybody. It's been an absolutely fabulous show. Thank you for the suggestion. Light and love to all of you. Have a great week. You can listen to the show in the archives. I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.